fourth vision of Zechariah in the third chapter, he showed me Joshua the high priest, who represented all the people, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. The book of Revelation has a picture that is future, not past. Jesus said he beheld Satan cast down. That referred to his being cast out of his position as the crowning cherub on the mountain of God. But in the book of Revelation, God will release Michael to cast Satan out of the heavenlies and contain him for a little season on this earth. And that's when the second half of the tribulation and all of its intensity turns loose. Between that time when he was cast from his position, and a third of heaven's angels followed him, and that casting down from the heavens, which lets them rejoice because he's no longer there, he has been the prince of the power of the air, running to and fro, venting his spleen in the heavenlies, and having access to the councils of heaven. And he's been forever the accuser of the brethren. He was there to accuse Job. But when Christ sees from him the keys of death, hell, and the grave, particularly that pier of death that he was able to prey upon, now when he accuses us, we have an advocate with the Father. And in this scenario, you have Satan, the accuser, in his quintessential role. Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Why? Third verse says, why? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Now the good news I've been talking about to those, though this communion will play many times by itself, and this isn't the first time I've gone to this passage for just communion. But tonight it follows a series of teaching on all of Zechariah's prophecies up to this fifth one, which represented visions he received in the same night plus three others. Or up to this fourth one. The fifth one I've taught on previously. God setting up his command post among his people, who had returned to build for him. God, who had been a little displeased with his people, but is much more and sorely displeased with those that took advantage of the temporary time of God's chastening. God's people that the horns of power of this world are arrayed against. God's people who have fled in order to make their own salvation be a happening by putting God first and getting involved in his work, and receive the wondrous designation from God that they are the apple of his eye. It's the same people. Same people. It would have been a little different if God had changed their garments in the first vision. It's very significant that this vision doesn't come until the other three are already unfolded. Joshua, representative of all the people among whom God had set up his command post, the one that God had returned to with mercy, the ones that God had been a little displeased with and the world had taken advantage of, the ones under pressure from the whole world, these same people that on being touched adversely by anyone on this earth or anywhere else are viewed by God and singled out as the apple of his eye, clothed in filthy garments. They didn't get the garments off before he said that. That's the message I want you to see. Well, let's examine ourselves. We go to the table of the Lord tonight. See if we're worthy to partake. See if we can get our garments rubbed dry and clean. The point, the good news is, it was filthy, garmented people in whom God had moved. But they were faithful to build again. It was filthy, garmented people that God sent carpenters to protect. It was filthy, garmented people that when touched, God said, they're the apple of my eye. Don't twist God in the word. And Satan, there are many more Christians who preach Satan's message than they do the Lord's message. The whole church world full of them. Standing at our right hand to resist us. You got filthy garments on. Now's the time to have a communion and smoke a cigar at the same time. Call up all your neighbors to watch and see if I get struck dead. I won't be. Indeed, this is not even in the category of filthy garments. Even Satan can't find a verse of Scripture against this one. He can't even find one he can twist and use against this. But the filthiness reached to our short fallen condition, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said, Satan, you've got a point, but let me deal with it. Well, Satan, I hadn't noticed, or I'd have taken care of this before I set up my camp in the myrtle trees. If you would have been here to point it out earlier, I never would have said they were the apple of my eye until the fifth message. We've got to put Zechariah in a deep sleep and get the order rearranged. No. The encampment which God chose, the myrtle trees, the apple of his eye, clothed with filthy garments. When is this self-righteous perfectionist, holy stomping church world going to wake up to the fact? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? They love to take Paul's writings and act as though he was preaching only to sinners. Paul wrote to the Romans, saints, and said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But speaking of his own experience in Romans 7, when he said, what I want to do, I find myself not doing, and what I would not do, I find myself doing. And with my mind, I agree with the law of God, it's good, but there's another law in my members that takes me into captivity. And I find myself doing what I would not do, and not doing what I would do. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God, he says, through Jesus Christ. Deliverance is not from within us. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Well, some of these cold, hard, self-made marble statues of self-righteousness that think they're making God proud. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And he answered God, that is, and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. The literal is, I will clothe thee in festive garments. Festive garments in the knowledge of God's grace. Who has believed our report? The prophet said in Isaiah 53, it is unbelievable. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I'm going to come back to that. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I'll come back to that. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Every sin, past, present, and future, the Lord laid on him. And the life that Leviticus 17:11, the life of the soul, Leviticus 17:11 says, which resides in the blood, his life, his blood, was poured out that we might live, and in the act of laying on him our iniquities, he fulfilled that picture made so clear in Galatians chapter 3, where it says, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law. As many as are judged by the works of the law, if that's your criteria of getting in, how clean you are by your effort, are under the curse of the law. And that Greek word under is a precise word that means something's falling and you're under it and nothing's going to stop it from falling. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Literally, we pass out from underneath it because the curse fell on him. We pass out from underneath it because he took our sins and carried them all away from us. As in that high priestly picture where Joshua standing for all the people has all of God's work do the deliverance. Nothing that he did. Satan's accusation is right. His clothes were dirty. God says, shut up, Satan. Take the garments off of him and clothe him with festive garments. That's why when we go to this table night after night, I say to you, whatever the passage we go to, the central truth comes out. It's all a work of grace, which means unmerited favor. You don't come to this table with guilt. You don't come to this table with your merits displayed. You don't come to this table beaten down saying, I must somehow deserve and be worthy to partake. You partake worthily, which is what Paul talked about when you discern the body of the Lord was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and all of our sins and iniquities were laid on him, and he bore our dirty garments that God might clothe us with Christ's righteousness, the festive garments of joy that come through grace. Now take the cup tonight, and like Joshua, rejoice in the knowledge that Satan is rebuked by God, and God takes our filthy garments from us and clothes us with festive garments, because by faith we see through this to the covering that Christ provided as we remember him and lift the cup together with joy. I said I'd return to those passages. He was borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. That's from the Hebrew, which is ambiguous. Jesus, Paul, the apostles, read from, quoted, studied, and gave us the Septuagint translation as the one they used in the New Testament, which out of many ambiguous choices the Hebrew gives, the New Testament in Matthew 8:17 translates or gives us the quotation from the translation of the Septuagint, himself bore our infirmities and our sicknesses. Not just griefs and sorrows, infirmities and sicknesses. And in a context where it says Jesus is fulfilling this passage in Isaiah when he healed fever and leprosy and various physical sicknesses and all that were sick who came to him in the 8th chapter of Matthew. This passage, with the New Testament precision, means not only did he lift our sins and our infirmities of transgressions that separated us from God, he lifted the physical sicknesses and the infirmities of weakness that come from that long separation from God until Jesus breached that barrier between us. And this bread, which is the other element at the table, allows us to come with the same thanksgiving, allows us to rebuke Satan who says we don't deserve healing, and with the bread we can claim the grace of God's unmerited favor for physical healing and say, with his stripes I was healed, as we take the bread together all over this network. You that are sick, lift it with thanksgiving and say, with his stripes I was healed. In Jesus' name.